And you know, that's the attitude that some people have, that the whole world stinks. You don't realize that you got Limburger cheese on your mustache. You don't realize that the problem is you. You don't realize that you are the one with the bad attitude. No, it's everybody else. The whole world stinks because you're right.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude.
And then God's going to ask you the question. Well, why did you quit? I quit because they made me mad. I quit because they did such and such a thing to me. Well, look, they talked about my son while he walked on the earth. They opposed him at every level. They beat him. They crucified him on the cross. And he never quit. So how in the world you get off quitting? How you get off quitting because of a little opposition that you got? The reason that you quit is because you got a bad attitude. You don't need to work on quitting. You need to work on your attitude. You need to work on your heart. And so we see here that God often puts us in situations and circumstances to reveal when our attitude is bad. You know, if you got a bad attitude, you know, God is not going to put you in a place. Well, watch this now. Watch this. God is not going to put you in a place where people are going to continue to confirm and affirm your bad attitude. He's not going to leave you there. Why? Because you're not going to get the help that you need. God wants you to say, like the blind man said, once I was blind, and now I see. No, now you have me here. I couldn't see it when I was around other people because they was confirming me and they were slapping me on the back and they were giving me high fives and they were giving me fist bumps and they were giving me pounds and I couldn't see it then. But all now that I'm around this group of hostile people, now that I'm around this group of folk that might not have my best interests at heart, God, you have shown me something about myself. And so sometimes God lets you be in that situation so that you can see who you really are. And then another thing, God confronts us when we have a bad attitude. God confronts us when we have a bad attitude. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 4, then said the Lord, do you do well to be angry? Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you, Jonah, to have a bad attitude? Now, God is not going to come on your radio and speak through your speakers. But when you come to God in the quietness of your heart, that still small voice will come to you and it will speak to your heart and it will say that you have a bad attitude, that your attitude is not right. But if we can go days on end without spending time with God, if we can go days on end without coming to the house of the Lord, if we can go days on end not in fellowship with God's people, then we're not going to be able to hear what God is trying to say to us. I share with people all the time, man, sometimes I hate having devotions. I hate having devotions because God always seems like, man, I say, come on, God, let up on me. Why we got to go through this beatdown every morning? Lord, why do you have to point out the weaknesses in my life? And God says, because I'm trying to make you better. I'm trying to get you to deal with the things in your life that will help you to become a better servant of God. And I'm putting my finger on those things so that you might be able to be all that I would want you to be. The psalmist said, it was good that I was afflicted that I might learn your ways. The psalmist said, I strayed away from your statues until I was afflicted. You brought me back. And so God confronts us. God got in Jonah's face and he said, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to have a bad attitude? And God gets in our face and God asks us the question, is it right for you to have a bad attitude towards your wife? Is it right for you to have a bad attitude towards your husband? Is it right for you to have a bad attitude towards another church member? God confronts us and he says that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Is it right for you to have a bad attitude? Is it right for you to have a bad attitude? And now we are confronted with the challenge from God, and we are confronted with the challenge from God's word. Do we continue on in the way that we're traveling, or do we stop and do we deal with the bad attitude that we have? And you know, one thing I found out, look, saints, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. In Hebrews 12 and verse 15, the writer of Hebrews lets us know. He says here, looking diligently, Hebrews 12, 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He says, looking diligently, that we need to constantly search our hearts to see if there's any root. He didn't say the plant. He didn't say the stem. He didn't say the flowers. He said the root. He said to see if there's any root of bitterness, any root of a bad attitude that's beginning to creep up in you. Your husband might leave the cap off the toothpaste, and you done told him with the first 10 years of your marriage to put it on, and he still hasn't got it. And because you didn't deal with it somewhere over the 10 years within yourself, now there's a root of bitterness that has sprung up. Somewhere back there, that root of bitterness sprang up. Maybe somebody said something to you just in passing. They made a comment to you, and it offended you, and you didn't deal with it. And all of a sudden, that root of bitterness began to creep up in you. That bad attitude began to creep up in you. And we don't deal with it. And God confronts us, and God gets in our face, and he says, look, and you know what, saints? If you are sensitive to God, and how can you be sensitive to God? You're sensitive to God by having a devotional time of reading the word and prayer. You're sensitive by, you know, just opening yourself, allowing God to speak to you. If you are sensitive to the voice of God, God will speak to you and let you know when it's a root before it grows and before it gets any bigger. But we ignore it. Sometimes we ignore it. And, you know, maybe you're sitting here today and you got an issue going on with somebody else, and that root is in your spirit. It's a root right now. It's a root right now. And God is getting in your face. And God is saying, look, are you angry? Jonah, are you angry? Is it right for you to be angry? And God is getting in somebody's face today and say, is it right for you to have that root in your heart? Is it right? And the writer of Hebrews says, looking diligently, because it'll come on you, as my dad used to say, so fast that it will make your head spin. That's pretty fast. And it'll come on you, and the next thing you know, it's past the root stage, and it's began to develop into a plant. The last thing I want to say about God and bad attitudes is God will not allow us to have peace until we confront our bad attitude. Now, you know, we can do like some of the people in Paul's day did, and we can ignore it, and our conscience can become seared, and we are not sensitized to it anymore. But if you got an ounce of Holy Spirit in you, if you got an ounce, oh, somebody help me this morning. Amen. Somebody help me this morning. If you got an ounce of Holy Spirit in you, if you got an ounce of Holy Ghost up in you, God will not let you have peace until you deal with the situation. Look at Jonah, man. This cat couldn't even get comfortable. Look at this brother. Verse 6, and the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shadow over his head to deliver him from what? From his grief. Or so he's already miserable to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the gourd. So what happens? Jonah goes from grief to gladness. And what did God say? God say, look, because you haven't dealt with this, I can't let you stay up here. I can't let you stay. Whoo! I can't let you stay up here. I can't let you have joy. The Holy Ghost is not going to let you have joy when you got a bad attitude. When you got, now you might, like I said, you might disregard the Holy Spirit. You might desensitize yourself to God, and you might go on your way and ignore. Just ignore, 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 ignore. But if you got an ounce of Holy Ghost in you, if you got an ounce of Holy Ghost in you, God will not let you be comfortable if you got a bad attitude. Look what happened here. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. So it wasn't enough now that God smote the gourd. And it came to pass when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted. Now, instead of getting right again, what's his brother want to do? He wants to check out. Once again, what did I say when people? Some people just want to quit. That's what he wanted to do. Instead of dealing with it, he just wanted to quit. God wants you to deal with it. And God will not give you any peace. You know, I don't know about you, but there's been some times that I've been in fellowship with some saints. And, you know, I like to clown. I like to joke. And sometimes I say things that, you know, I don't mean any harm, you know, no harm meant by them, but I just might have said them out of fun. And then I'll be on my way home, and the Spirit of the Lord will hit me and say, you know, that really was not a very nice thing that you said. You know, that really wasn't a nice thing that you said. And there's people that are sitting here today. There are people sitting here today, and you can testify to this. I got on the phone, and I called them, and I said, I'm sorry that I said that. I apologize. I should have never have joked like that. I should have never have said that. Now, I wasn't doing it, don't get me wrong. I wasn't doing as much for your benefit. I was doing it mostly for my benefit because I knew that God wasn't going to give me any peace until I dealt with it. Now, once again, if there's a breach there, I wanted to, you know, mend that, and I wanted to make sure that you're not offended, and that was a part of it. But the biggest part of it is that this thing was going to be on me, and I wasn't going to get any peace, and I wasn't going to get any rest until I dealt with it. And I knew that. I knew it when I got up the next morning and tried to have devotion with God, the first thing that he was going to bring was this situation, and I wasn't going to have any peace. And I knew I had to deal with it at that point right there. And so we need to realize that God will not allow us to have peace until we confront our bad attitude. Jonah had that temporary joy, and God took it right from him. God took it from him. God said, look, you're having too much fun, Jonah. You're smiling too much. Let me break you on back down. And so God took away the gourd, and not only that, but God sent a wind and the sun to beat on Jonah's head, to call him more grief. And what was God trying to do? God was trying to get him to get right. God wasn't trying to punish him. God just used the man to preach to a whole city, and a whole city of folk got saved. God wasn't doing that to punish him. God was doing it so that Jonah would get right with him. As I conclude today, I've put together some things to correct a bad attitude. Let me give you a couple things that you can do to correct a bad attitude. The first thing is to review the reason for your bad attitude. What caused you to have a bad attitude? There's always an origin. There's always a source. And sometimes you got to trace it back to the source. And if you don't know what the source is and you can't get back to the source, then you know what you need to do? You need to get alone before the Lord and you need to pray. And even if it takes fasting, that's how serious this thing is, that you need to get alone with God and you need to see what is the source of my bad attitude. You know, I remember I was building a shed one summer, and I had one of these metal sheds. And it had, this thing had like 50 million screws that, you know, putting this shed together. And so I had taken a week vacation to put this shed together. And I was out there, the sun was beating down, it was hot, I was sweating. And after about the third day, I finally got the shed together. And when I got the shed together, I saw that on both ends, there was about a space about 2 feet. And I was like, man, you know, these jokers left some parts out. So I went and got my little paper and saw the 800 number. And I called the 800 number. And I said, look, I said, you know, I've been out here. I took my vacation this week to put this shed together. Like she wanted to hear this story, right? Put this shed together. And I got finished. And, you know, there's about 2 feet on both sides. And I just can't, you know, figure out. I think you guys left the part out. And she said, well, sir, that's not something that's typical. You know, we usually don't leave the parts out. I said, yeah, but it looks like you did this time. I said, can you send me the parts, or is there somewhere I can go and get the parts? She said, sir, well, the only thing I can recommend is that you just take the shed and put it back in the box and bring it back, and we'll give you another one. I said, are you crazy? I said, there's no way in the world I'm going to bring this shed back. So I just went out there, and I began to study. I began to say, okay, now they said they don't make this mistake. And I began to study and I began to look at the shed. And you know what I found out? The foundation for the shed was, there was a 7-foot foundation and a 9-foot foundation. I bought a 7-foot shed, but I set it up for the 9-foot foundation. So all I did was loosen some screws and slide the foundation in, and it was perfect. But you see, what did I have to do? I had to stop. And I had to think, and I had to go back, and I had to find out where I went wrong. Where did I make the mistake? Where did I get off at? And if you're sitting here today and you got a bad attitude, you need to stop and you need to do a self-examination. And you need to go and you need to pick up the instructions. You need to pick up the book and you need to say, where did I go wrong? Where did I make this thing wrong? How did I get this bad attitude? That's where you need to start at today. I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but you can raise your hand in your heart. You know if you're sitting here today with a bad attitude. You know it. What's the origin of it? Trace the origin. Find out where it started. And then once you find out where it started, you need to repent from that bad attitude. Review and then repent. You know what? To have a bad attitude, whether you realize it or not, it's sin. It's a sin before God to have a bad attitude. Now, once again, I didn't say to be upset about something, you know, because God, you know, understands sometimes we get upset, you know, that there are other things that we can, but to have a bad attitude is a sin, and we need to deal with it like a sin. And what do you do with a bad attitude? You go before the Lord and you confess it to him. You know, Lord, I got to confess to you. That's where you start at. That's where you start at. Get in your prayer closet. Get along with God and say, God, I have a bad attitude. I can't hide it from you. I might as well be honest. I might as well lay it right on the table that I have a bad attitude, God, and right now I confess it unto you. What is confession? Homologeo, saying the same thing that God says. God says your bad attitude is a sin. You say it's a sin. God, I've sinned. I got a bad attitude. And I'm asking right now, Lord, that you forgive me. Forgive me for having a bad attitude. The next thing that you do, after you review, repent, then you refocus. See, the reason that people get bad attitudes is because they lose their focus. If I'm serving in a ministry and something happens to cause me to have a bad attitude, and all of a sudden now I either want to become critical and condemning or I want to quit, then, God, where have I checked with God? Has God told me that it's all right to stop? Has God told me that it's all right to quit? See, Instead of me looking for the way out, I need to refocus. Okay, God, this is, I need to focus on you, and this is the mission that you've given me. I tell you what, there's opportunities. The pastors are quitting every week. Every week. There's so many churches without pastors. And sometimes I can see why, because I'm ready to quit sometimes. So I can see why they want to quit, all right? But then you know what? Whenever that comes on me, I just refocus. I say, Lord, let me go to seminary somewhere and just teach some young men and women that want to be preachers instead of being a preacher. But you refocus. I refocus on God. God, you got me here. God, this is where you want me. This is the mission that you've given me, God. And you know what happens? I start getting excited again. I start getting my fire back. I start getting my joy back. But as long as I'm focusing on this issue with a bad attitude, I'm not focusing on God, and I'm not focusing on my mission. You know, sometimes you got to put all this stuff beside you, and you got to get fired up about your mission. Why does God have you on the face of this earth? Why does God have you here? And don't let anybody deter you from what it is that God wants you to do. Like the song said, ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move. Don't let them stop you. Redo the things when you had a good attitude. You know, what were some of the things that you were doing when you had a good attitude? Go back and do those things. John said in the book of Revelation, redo your first works. Go back and redo the things that gave you joy. Go back and think about what gave you joy from this marriage. What gave you, you know, oftentimes when I'm counseling married people and they're having problems, and you know what the difference between a premarital couple and a marital couple is? Okay, well, the premarital couple are optimistic. And they come and they're all excited and open-eyed and they're optimistic. And the marital couple was pessimistic. They're bringing all this baggage. And so, you know, one of the things that I always try to get the married couple to do that's having problems, I'll ask them, well, how was it when you first met? How was it when you fell in love? How was it when you looked into the other person's eye and the twinkle came? What was that? Describe that to me. Now, that's a little exercise I do. And why do I do that? Because I'm trying to get them to see. Look, this is what you had. This is what we want to go back to right here. You know, in the midst of all this junk that's happened over these years, let's jump over that and let's focus back onto that time when it was harmony and that time when there was love and there was joy. Let's focus on that. Now, we're still going to work with this other stuff, but let's go back in that. And what does that do? What does that do? You know what it does? It gives them hope to say, okay, hey, you know what? We did do this thing one time. We did do it one time. Maybe we can do it again. So let's go back and redo the first works. And then if nothing else works, rejoice. Rejoice. The scripture says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. If you rejoice, that'll overcome that bad attitude that you got. If you got a bad attitude and you just get in a spirit of praise and you get in a spirit of rejoicing, that will help you to overcome that bad attitude. So as we look at Jonah, we can see that here he was, he went and preached, and a whole city got saved, and Jonah had a bad attitude. And God still used him. But I believe Jonah lost something because of his attitude. So maybe today you need an attitude.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.